Hello, folks. This is Dave Gahary, and you're tuned into the Dave and Duke Call-In Show. Let's see if we are coming through loud and clear here on FTJmedia.com. And yes, yes, we are. Good. Perfect. So, as you could see online, we made a few modifications to the site, and you see there's categories now, live, which are only live shows. Sometimes there are no live shows, so there's nothing in that category, and that it doesn't even say live. That's how you'll know if there's something live. And I believe it, you don't have to refresh, it pushes itself there. So you see then the category rebroadcasts, and there's going to be a lot more in there where the hosts are rebroadcasting their favorite shows. And then upcoming, and this show was in there just before I went live, and you can see what's up and coming for this week, Siege of the Day on Tuesday and Siege of the Day on Thursday. And Wednesday, I'm going to be joined by Jason Kessler of Charlottesville fame Wednesday in the evening at 6 o'clock Central Time. So that should be an interesting show. We did another modification on the site. If you go to FTJ Media on the, I guess, any page really, you can see on the top menu bar, you know, you've got the clock there. It says get FTJ Pro, the schedule, call in now. So if you click call in, that will open up in a new window, and it will provide all of the phone numbers from whatever countries are able to call in to this show. The only thing it doesn't provide is a PIN number, because that changes every show. So the host will put that into the chat. And if you don't see it, if it's all the way up at the top, then just ask for it and ye shall receive. All right. So just got a message from Giuseppe, and he had his surgery last week, a couple of days ago on Thursday. And I asked him, how is he feeling now? Because it was pretty bad initially, of course, surgery like that. And first he felt like he got hit by a truck, he said. Then steady improvement. And that was, so he felt like he got hit by a truck on Thursday after the surgery. And then yesterday, which was Saturday, he said steady improvement. Yesterday only felt like I was in a fight. So today, he said, I asked him, how is it today, Sunday? And he said, oi goy, continued steady improvement. So that means he's feeling good, because he said oi goy. So that's good news, Giuseppe. I'm going to sneeze, I think. No, it's gone. Okay, so that's excellent. Send prayers out to Jim Rizzoli. He was in the hospital. I think he got out today. I was communicating with Diane King, and Jim was having trouble breathing, and I had sent him a couple of emails. He replied. We went back and forth. I told him it can't hurt to go have it checked out. All right, let's see. Hold on. Dave's calling here. Dave, where are you? Dave?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I've been trying to sign in, but this doesn't give me this damn password.
No, you don't.
That you showed me last time on the Skype.
Okay, did you look at the link in the Skype I just sent you? No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. I got out of Skype to get into the show.
No, go back into Skype, and you got to click the link I sent you.
Okay, but I don't understand. It changes all the time.
Yeah, it changes all the time because it's a new show. Okay. Bye. Okay. So at any rate, I told Jim, can't hurt to go to the hospital, which he did. And, you know, it's his heart. And he just had, of course, that open heart surgery. So don't know yet. Diane's going to try some natural remedies. If anybody has any ideas, because Jim does not want to take those big Harma pills. So if anybody has any ideas about how to strengthen the heart naturally, and I know Jim goes for walks and stuff, so he's not inactive. At any rate, say a prayer for our good friend Jim Rizzoli. Of course, Jim lost his twin brother. Jeez, was that, I think it was in January or February of last year, I think. It's been a year. I need to find out the date that Joe passed on. Let me go to the chat. Before Dave gets in. All right, there's Burn Before Reading. / hello. Okay. And let us go here. All right. And Dave should be here pretty soon. And while he's away, I will say that this is the Dave and Duke call-in show. It's 2 hours long. It's on FTJmedia.com. And it's a call-in show. So you can call in from anywhere in the world. And you can... Ah, there he is. Okay, Dave.
Okay, you there?
Yep. Go ahead and mute yourself, and I will finish wrapping up the intro.
Let me in. I'll change my sound settings, too.
Okay.
I don't know why we have these
issues. All right, I'm going to mute you, and then you unmute yourself. When I send you a message. Okay, Dave's muted. Okay, so you can call in from anywhere in the world and ask David a question. I'm going to give you the PIN number now in the chat. All right. So let's go there. I told you where the numbers were, so that's where to get them. And there's the PIN number, 6029-144-799, 6029-1447-99. So go to FTJmedia.com, click on the call-in tab on the top, the red call-in tab next to schedule, and that will open up in a new window. You can actually download that PDF if you wanted to keep it handy, or you can just always click call-in. And then you'll see your number for the country you're in. It's not all countries in the world, but it's a lot of damn countries. So, as a matter of fact, I'll show it to you right now. All right. While David is getting his gadgets set up. Okay, so there it is. And we'll make it bigger. And so you could see... Of course, the United States, Argentina, Australia, Austria, Belgium, Brazil, Bulgaria, Canada, it goes on and on and on, all the way down to Vietnam. So let's see. Russia's not in there, which, gee, I wonder why. But at any rate, there it is. I'm going to get rid of the sharing, and I'll say that the way that the show works is you ask the question to Dave, and he has 2 minutes to answer the question, thereabouts. It depends on what the question is, but for the most part, that's what we try to adhere to. And then if he doesn't stop talking in 2 minutes, I might gently remind him, or I will give him the buzzer. And... Some of you are familiar with the buzzer. Let's see if we can find a good buzzer sound for Dave, because he does like this buzzer. Let's see this one, if this is the one. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. And we'll use a buzzer. And let me also just say before we get to Dave, oh, yeah, then the ongoing challenge, of course. The ongoing challenge. If anyone can let us know of a greater existential threat to humanity and free speech, other than organized international Jewry, let us know what that is, and we'll quit the show. If you can also let us know of a more effective deliverer of that message of Jewish supremacy, please let us know, and we'll quit the show. We've been doing this for a couple of years, and so far nothing. I don't expect anything to appear, but whatever. We'll put it out there, because there is no greater threat to humanity. This is what David's been talking about for 60 years. So I'll be going out to see David this weekend coming up. Not this weekend because it's over, but the following weekend. And I'm looking forward to it. And we're supposed to get here. We're in Florida, but we're in the Florida Panhandle in Northwest Florida. We're supposed to get some snow here. So it has snowed here before, but it's going to go down to like 12 degrees Fahrenheit. And it's supposed to be pretty bad. Of course, who knows what's going to happen, but this is what they're saying. However, school, because tomorrow is a holiday for MLK, and school obviously would start on Tuesday and continue through Friday. But because of the snow coming, Tuesday and Wednesday have already been canceled for school. So you don't get much snow here in the Florida Panhandle. However, we know why. It is the global warming, right? Because the global warming is to blame for the cold, too. At least that's what those assholes are telling us. So let me see if I could send Dave a message, ask him to unmute. And I did. And he has to unmute. I can't.
I'm unmuted.
David.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to be getting snow?
I think we're supposed to get a little bit. Maybe we're supposed to get a little bit. They don't know for sure. But
when was the last time that area had snow? Any idea?
About 15 years ago.
Wow. This global warming is serious, man.
Well, you know, here's the situation. And I know a little bit about history. And I know because we can look at tree rings, for instance, and tell what the climate was for actually 10,000 years in terms of the world climate. And we can do that by measuring the tree rings. Then you match up the tree rings, which are almost like a fingerprint, right? And so if you have a particular breed of tree, you can take stumps, even fossils if you have them, and then you can cut into them and you can match the rings and get a perfect connection to thousands of years of history. So you know when it's colder, you know when it's warmer. You could tell by the width of the tree ring. So so here's the situation. In the history of the world, we've always had periods, sometimes very long periods, sometimes shorter periods, of very cold weather, very hot weather. Climate has always varied. And if we're in a colder period or we're in a warmer period, it's to be expected. And every time it changes, you can have these climate people just say, oh, it's climate change because of this and because of that. I do think that mankind can affect climate somewhat. And I know one thing for sure. We can affect our environment.
The take that I find the hottest is, Brian Kelly failed on Notre Dame.
He's a failure. What's this? I can't even turn this off. Okay. I don't know what that's about. Anyway, I was trying to find a video play for today. It wasn't that one. But anyway, so where was I? So we've had periods. We know now, for instance, that there was an incredible cold period in, I think it was the year 532 AD. And apparently it was a huge volcano that went off in the southeastern Asian area, and it just completely, it was the biggest volcanic explosion probably since the dinosaur one. Maybe it's not quite as big as that one, but I do believe there was dinosaurs at one time on the earth, by the way, for those that were wondering about that. But we know that it caused massive cold weather for about 2 or 3 years. We didn't even hardly see the sun, believe it or not, because the atmosphere is so full of the volcanic ash. A huge volcano in this island in Southeast Asia. But so these things do happen. And then we had a period. We know that 25,000 years ago, for instance, that we had an ice age. And at that time, because of the fact that so much ice had been made in the oceans, it caused the sea level to drop. So we know that the coast of the what is today the United States of America, Canada, Europe, North and South America, we know that the coastline extended further out into the Atlantic or further out into the Pacific during that period than it does today. In fact, we believe, and there's lots of evidence, that there were settlements on the American coast, probably from Europeans, 25,000 years ago, which is long before the Indian incursions into the Americas, because they found certain kinds of Indian points, which are very similar to that of Europe, but it's older than any of the American sites that were coming from the Asian crossing the Bering Strait migrations, which is kind of interesting. And the reason why they know this is because they get them from the dredges when they're doing shrimping or they're doing other sorts of seafood harvesting. And sometimes they pick up these stone points, which are very distinctive because they were at one point 50 miles off the coast, were actually part of the continental shelf and part of the, you know, what we'd say today is the American coastline that is dry ground. Isn't that interesting?
So we have
a lot of, I love science, but we have a lot of climate change that happens. And with all climate change, there's some, you know, some advantages and disadvantages. We have some advantages in terms of the hotter weather, in that it makes a lot more areas of the earth more tenable for seasonable things. It's not so cold and at the poles. And that's one issue. If it's colder, there could be some advantages too. It's not very much advantageous for the people in those Arctic regions or subarctic regions or this type of thing. So, you know, but one thing about mankind is we're pretty adaptable. If we have good leadership, if we have people that are actually concerned about the well-being of our countries and our peoples and our futures and our land and our world, one thing I do know, and I am an environmentalist in this respect, that I know we're poisoning the oceans. I know we're killing huge numbers of fish. I know we're poisoning our streams. We're destroying the fertility of our land. We're destroying the bees, for instance.
Well, we're not, but right. They are, right?
Well, I'm just saying that,
yeah.
Well, we're all part of it in the sense that we're part of that system.
Right, but we're not putting plastic in the ocean.
Policies, yeah. Right. We might be working on a farm or, you know, we might be doing what we need to do to get our crops in, considering the fact that we've lost so much of the value of the land, you know, because the fertility of the land has so gone down because we don't really do regenerative farming the way we could be doing. So, I mean, so I believe in a healthy environment. I want to breathe fresh and clean air, and I want to drink good water, especially not without any fluoride in it or any of these other heavy metals that we're getting in our water.
Well, you got to move to Florida, Dave.
Yeah.
You're getting rid of fluoride in Florida. Dave, yeah. Let's get to the Let's get to the chat, and then we'll give you your 15 minutes of fame, all right?
Sure, go ahead.
Let's call it the 15 minutes of fame. Okay, Burn Before Reading, O/. Hello, Burn Before Reading. Tom Dwyer, evening, Dave. Tom, good luck with on Wednesday. Josh Hu, word. There's a PIN number, 6029-1447-99, 6029-1447-99. Stephanie, greetings, all love and blessings to all. Hello, Stephanie. Lori, good evening. Evening chat. Hello, Lori. Lori, I think you heard me say I'll have Jason on Wednesday at 6 p.m., provided we're not snowed in. Burned Before Reading, hope you continue to feel better. G-Man, O/. Duckweed, O/. Burned Before Reading, Jim as well. Hope they get him fixed up, yeah. Burned Before Reading, There Won't Be Snow by 2020. There won't be
2020.
Snow by 2020. I don't know. We'll see what that means. Lisa from Germany. Good evening, everybody. Hello, Lisa. Joshua, humans are changing the weather by geoengineering. Carbon is all bullshit, and so is the so are the methane fear mongers. Plants need CO2 or he wouldn't have oxygen. Okay, Josh, more CO2 would make larger plants and more oxygen. Yeah, it's all a freaking joke. Dave, what are you going to talk about tonight before we get into the questions?
I don't know. I was having a few thoughts of what I thought to talk about the most. I was kind of looking for...
You want to bounce it off me and I'll give you my opinion?
Well, there's a few interesting aspects of...
Well, give me the top three things you wanted to talk about and I'll tell you what I think.
I think one thing we could talk about is basically that... The man who runs our State Department, the Jewish supremacist traitor, Mr. Blinken.
Soon to be Marco Rubio.
Hmm?
Soon to be Marco Rubio.
Soon to be Marco Rubio.
Who's very knowledgeable, a very knowledgeable guy.
Yeah, right. He was really very so knowledgeable about the incredible biological weapons that were in Ukraine. Wasn't that interesting?
He's a neocon, but nonetheless, he's knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm. You might say that.
Okay, so you were thinking about that piece of shit Blinken?
Well, I was thinking about the fact that Biden actually admitted that he's guilty in complicity in genocide. Because he literally said, in fact, he just made a statement the other day, he said that, and I quote, that he said that I told Netanyahu not to do this, that he's got to stop these killings, you know, and they wouldn't listen. Well, he's been saying that for a year and a half, and he gave them deadlines. He said, if you go into Rafah, you know, we're going to cut you off. You're going to cross a red line. He did this again and again and again and again. And they just kept slaughtering more and more and more of these kids. So it's like.
Okay, what else would you want to.
Guilty.
What else would you want to talk about?
Well, we can talk about, you know, there's some interesting signs that Trump may be changing a little bit on Israel and Netanyahu. We don't know that to be true yet. You know what they say, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. So we can look at it that way.
Or isn't it the proof is in the pudding?
The proof of the pudding's in the eating.
The proof is in the pudding, right. So, Dave, why don't we talk about, look, tomorrow is Inauguration Day, right?
Let's talk about inauguration.
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe this country's gotten so weak, and so maybe there's another reason for what they're doing, but that we can't be outside in the cold weather a little bit for the inauguration of President of the United States. I don't think that they'd have done that in 1890. I think
it was in March back then. It wasn't in January.
Well, whatever it was, sometimes you have bad days or whatever. It's just, I'm just saying there's a different kind of metal that people have today from what they had then.
So. 100%. I mean, imagine the original Americans, the original pilgrims who came here Can you imagine them asking for a handout, right? I mean, they had nothing. They had to dig it out of the dirt. So, yeah, of course, it's a lot different. Inauguration, Dave. Let's just quickly go over that real quick before you start on that. Listen to this. Listen to this, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead.
Between 73 and 79 days after the presidential election, the president-elect of the United States is inaugurated as president by taking the presidential oath of office. The first inauguration of George Washington took place on April 30, 1789. All subsequent public inaugurations from 1793 until 1933 were held on March 4, excluding those in 1821, 1849, 1877, and 1917, when March 4 fell on a Sunday and the public inauguration ceremony took place on Monday, March 5. Since 1937, it has taken place at noon local time on January 20, the first day of the new term, except in 1957, 1985, and 2013, when January 20 fell on a Sunday. In those years, the presidential oath of office was administered on that day privately, and then again in a public ceremony the next day on Monday, January 21. Those inaugurations, each 28 years apart, were all coincidentally the re-inauguration of the incumbent president to a second and final term. The next presidential inauguration, of course, that's going to be tomorrow. There you go. Some United States American history.
Well, they used to do that because people went to church on Sunday. And in the old days, going to church was a lot bigger deal for people that lived in rural areas. And most people lived in rural areas, actually. I mean, up until 1900, about 95% of people lived in a very, very small towns or very rural areas where often it would take hours to get to church or get to the city or get to the, because people just, it just was a more rural environment.
And much more religious. Dave, the town I grew up in, New Jersey, the county I grew up in, New Jersey, still has the blue laws in place. Most businesses can't open on Sundays.
I guess we should talk for a moment, since it's the inauguration, is that a lot of people do give Trump credit, if that's the word for it, for the ceasefire. And because he apparently kind of read the Riot Act in Netanyahu, in the sense of that he did this. On his Truth Social, he published a sit-down that Jeffrey...
Sachs?
Yeah, Jeffrey Sachs, who has been a big critic of Israel and a big critic of American policy and a big critical person of Netanyahu, who he called at the union at the British, Oxford-Cambridge, at a session that he spoke at about a month and a half ago. And he said he called Netanyahu a deep, dark son of a bitch. That's what he said. And which Netanyahu apparently didn't like. So Netanyahu canceled his coming to the inauguration. He didn't want to put up with that. And maybe he did it too, because he's worried about the fact that he's got to fly a long way. And say he has engine trouble between Israel and here and North Africa or Spain, even perhaps. I think they said they would enforce the warrant. I mean, the guy is guilty of genocide. He's guilty of mass murder. And it's so important to continue to point out that his actions in regard to what's going on in Gaza is so anti-American. It's so anti-Christian. It's so anti-human right. And I've been repeating this again and again, but I'll just to make a couple of short statements on this. I'll just say this, that I would like to make people Christians, especially those so-called Christian Zionists. Christian, I think that's not really a good name for it. Christian Satanists, is that what you want to call them? I guess we could call them that. That think somehow who support Israel, who's killing all these children. I would just ask every one of them to realize what Jesus Christ himself said. And he said that children, all children, are in the kingdom of God. That kingdom are by their very nature in part of the kingdom of God. And they, like he said, he wanted them to come unto him. And he also said that anybody who would cause a child to even stumble should have a millstone, any sort of harm to a child, should have a millstone tied around his neck and dropped to the bottom of the sea. That's what, in fact, he said it'd be better if they had that because, you know, I guess he said they would be punished with, you know, death in the sense of life and hell. I'm not sure, though, if hell is a place of eternal torment, like the Jews say that they're doing to Jesus Christ. And they are saying that's for sure. It's in the Talmud, and it's very well laid out in the book by Peter Schaeffer, former head of Judaic Studies at Princeton. And I do believe very much that Jesus feels that way, and I feel that way. I think anybody would harm a little child is not going with God. And sometimes people say, you know, there's no contradictions in the Bible and there's no conflicts. Well, there are conflicts. There's even sometimes conflicts within a chapter of the New Testament, or one gospel would be Mark or Luke or John, and another one in terms of the same situation with different names or a different kind of tree or whatever. And but the way I feel on more important issues, like these kinds of issues, is I almost always try to go with the teachings of Jesus Christ. And even then, I'm not sure about every piece of scripture in the Bible, because I know that these scriptures have been copied so many times, and any biblical scholar knows this. And they can go to these monasteries where they're copying scriptures literally from the second to third century after the time of Christ. And they'll find the same monastery where scriptures have been copied from an earlier scripture, and just the copies they made in simply one copy or two copies or three copies down the line of other scribes in the monastery, that they're different. There's mistakes. And sometimes there are additions. People are doing this for a long time. They think, oh, this is a good story. Now somebody can argue that they're inspired by God with every copy of all the thousands and thousands of copies over hundreds and hundreds of years. So I can't be sure about every single scripture. I'm not saying that every single scripture should be in the New Testament or in the Old Testament. But one thing that I know of is that if I'm going to make a decision between some scripture in the Old Testament, which we don't have any scriptures of, really, before about 200 or 300 years before Christ. And by the way, that's true. There's a Jewish scholar named Adler who had a very good book recently. There's a lot of studies on this, right? And he shows that Judaism, as it's practiced today, and Judaism as it was practiced in the first century AD, is not the same as the way the Jewish faith, whatever it was practiced 400 or 500 years ago. In fact, the Torah, which is, of course, the Pentateuch, which Jews follow the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, which was stapled onto the New Testament. They added the Pentateuch on the New Testament, but by the church. There's a lot of discussion about that, a lot of argument, and a lot of the earliest, some of the early Gospels and scriptures are not there, and some of the early scriptures are there that weren't there. I mean, there's just lots of issues. But one thing I do know is that if I'm going to have controversy or conflict. I'm going to go with the teachings of Jesus Christ, because that's, I know that he, in many ways, I can show contradictions of Jesus Christ as a, compared to the Jewish law that they have in the Pentateuch. Very clear contradictions. I mean, absolutely clear contradictions. In the Old Testament, the law was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In fact, it goes further. It goes eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, an arm for an arm, a leg for a leg. It was just a hardcore, unforgiving, you know, forget the circumstances. You're going to do the letter of the law no matter what, even there were sometimes circumstances involved in that.
Mitigating circumstances.
Now, technically, say your son gets in a...
Dave, we got 2 minutes and we got to get to the...
Say if your son gets in a fight with one of his buddies or friends or whatever, and the friend falls down and in the process hurts his arm, gets an infection, loses his arm. All right. So then are we supposed to say, okay, we'll have to cut off your son's arm too, right? That's an arm for an arm, so no tooth for a tooth. Jesus Christ said, no, he says it said that, but that's one of the Jewish laws. In effect, it's three places in the Old Testament. Jesus said, no, he said, forgive. We forgive in Christianity and we turn the other cheek. Now that doesn't mean you should always do that. It means that, but you have to use some sensibility. You know, it says the law should serve mankind and not hurt mankind. He said that he came not to bring curses on people. That, see, they portray God. There's many people that say Yahweh. By the way, the name Yahweh is not even used in the New Testament. It's 9,000 usages of the term Yahweh in the Old Testament. Never once is Jesus called Son of Yahweh. At all, which is very, very interesting. And Yahweh was considered to be kind of a warrior god. Now, this is what the historiography of this, and God is a very, very vengeful guy in the Old Testament. You know, he's a jealous god. I don't think God needs to be jealous of anybody, but and there's a lot of things like that. But so he's like a warlike and a wrathful god. And if you just break one of the commandments, you're liable to be starved to death, right? Yeah. Or have your enemies go in and do this to you. So Christ, what he said is, you know.
Dave, 30 seconds.
Okay. Christ said if a child is hurt, those people deserve, you know, it's better if they have a millstone wrapped around their neck and dropped to the bottom of the sea. Because, you know, as he's saying, they're going to have a worse punishment.
Right.
And sooner. If that, you know, doesn't happen, it's worth it, you know.
Okay. Let's,
so anyway, it's a whole different attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's, I'm with you. Okay. Remember when that fella said no snow by 2020, he was talking about Al Gore. Al Gore said we wouldn't have snow by 2020. What an asshole. Lisa from Germany, the deepest respect for a remarkably courageous Polish politician, Gregorz Braun, that's the guy with the fire extinguisher, too good to be true, what he allegedly did and said in the Polish parliament, quote, Jews, your world rule is ending. Your time in history is coming to an end. Mm-hmm. He put out the Hanukkah flame in the Polish parliament using a fire extinguisher, broke the microphone, interrupted speakers at a holy hoax lecture,
yep,
trashed a COVID sign, and refused to wear a mask. That's quite something. He is a candidate for the next Polish president. Just wondering what we can expect coming from that.
I don't know what we're going to expect coming from that, but we should talk about what he did and the events surrounding this, because it's more illustrations of the same thing as I'm always talking about. See, the issue is what we're really finding out is there's not even a mention of the Torah at all before about 3rd century BC, before the Common Era, before Christ came. It's not even mentioned. And there's no evidence of any ritual following of Jews, whether it be the dietary things about not eating pig or not eating shellfish or circumcision, all these things. It looks like most of that really began because there's no mention of it, because we have all these thousands and thousands and thousands of letters people wrote to each other. We have other aspects. We have different acknowledgement of the rituals and so forth
of Judaism. And the way that Adler describes it is that the this Pentateuch and this very hardcore ultra-racism of Judaism was really about the fact that Jews were suffering great defeat. And they knew that Jews are being dispersed. Of course, the Jews were taken to Babylonian captivity at one time. They were dispersed by the Romans. And what started a lot of this dispersion of the Jews was the Maccabean revolt. And the Maccabeans were the
same. What about that guy? What do you think about him, Dave? Do you think he's the real deal?
I think he's great. He went against Hanukkah. And I think that, and by the way, I think basically Jesus obviously grew up in a Jewish culture. Of course, this was after the creation of this more radical Jewish thing. But Jesus rebelled against it. That's why they crucified Jesus Christ. Because he went against, you know, their laws. He went against their Jewish supremacism. He said everybody should be treated fairly and decently, including we Gentiles. And the Gentiles were very clearly described in the New Testament, by the way. I hope most of you agree, that read the New Testament as I have, that the Gentiles were Romans, and they were Greeks, and they were also Assyrians, and they were Philistines, and they were all the people of the world, in fact, including all the European nations, were what was called, that's what the Bible says, that the Gentiles were, in fact, the, you know, the Romans and the Greeks. And we know the Romans and the Greeks were us. We know the Romans and the Greeks, you know, weren't Jews. And they wouldn't have called the Romans and the Greeks a separate from Jews if they were Jews. And they wouldn't have called them Romans and Greeks different than Jews if they saw the Jews as the same as them. So the people that they were reviling against and saying that they had a right to rule over and to murder and to rape and to kill in mass and genocide are us. And Jesus thought that was wrong. Jesus said that the golden rule must apply to everybody. So the Maccabeans also, he was also trying to get the Jews to turn away from this, not only from what they were doing to all the other peoples and the murder and the mass murder and the genocide, but also realizing that this ultimately wouldn't be very good for Jews either. He was basically trying to say, you're going to screw yourself, right? And that's exactly what happened. The Maccabeans, the whole Hanukkah thing was where they killed the Greeks and the Romans, which again were us. They murdered them. They also murdered any Jews that mixed with them or, you know, did business with them or married them or whatever. And which is kind of interesting, the Jews, very hardcore racists. And the reason why they formulated this racism, because they thought that's the only thing that could save them and keep them together as a nation after the scattering all over Europe and all over the world. So that's what they write about. And I think this is I think that's a true thing. And Christ was saying, this is going to not work to your advantage. And guess what? We had another revolution. After the Maccabean thing came before that, you know, way before this. After Jesus, shortly after his warnings to the Jews, after the Jews tried to crucify Christ and saying, you got to be fair, you got to be decent to people. You can do what you want. You can keep your Jewish heritage, that's fine. But you don't have the right to cheat people, kill people, massacre people, steal their land, rape their women, you know, and so forth. And what happened was the Maccabeans had another big giant revolt against the Romans and the Greeks and the others, and they lost. And that's the time when they were again expelled across the world. So they say, you know, so Jesus was basically trying to save Jews from themselves because he lived in that environment, but he also was trying to save us. And the New Testament's very, very clear that he brought his salvation for everybody, into all nations. And the New Testament says, quote, and the Jews crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and despise and hate all mankind and drove us out and keep us from saving the Gentiles, right? But God's wrath has come upon them at last. Jesus Christ said, ye and ye fathers are the sons of the devil, and the lust of ye father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own essence. So these are the things, and this is why Christ was crucified. He came as a Messiah, bringing peace and love to the world, and trying to get these Jews to back off of their racist hatred against us, right? And against the Romans. And in fact, the Romans brought so much brilliance to the world. They brought the aqueducts. They brought education. They brought sanitation. They brought a lot of things to right. the world. The Greeks so did. The Greek academies.
And Dave, after that, I'm going to play a video of Gregor's Braun.
Go ahead. So,
you want to see it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm done.
Okay.
You see, I'm very amenable tonight.
Yeah.
This is a video what?
This is what Lisa was talking about. Okay, we're going to play this. And here we go.
Kończy się wasz czas w historii. On już się skończył.
Turn it down. I'll read it to the people.
Izrael i wyżyci Ameryki.
Both you Jews from Israel.
Dave, let him play and then you can read it. Nie będziecie dyktować. Let's start it from the beginning. Hold on.
Kończy się wasz czas w historii. On już się skończył. I wy, Żydzi z Izraela i wy, Żydzi z Ameryki, nie będziecie już zarządzali narodami tego świata. Nie będziecie dyktowali narodom na całej kuli ziemskiej, kogo mają wybierać na swoich najwyższych przedstawicieli i jak mają czcić i nosić w serdecznej pamięci swoich przodków, ich męczeństwo, ich ofiary.
Courageous, great man.
All right, you want to read it as he's saying it now?
He says, right. Can just Ready? Pop the time okay, I go. Read a passage, right?
Go
Your
ahead.
Time and history.
Don't play
the sound. Just don't play the sound.
Okay, don't play the sound? All right, yeah. Hold on. Okay. Hold on. All okay, right, go.
Start over. Your time in history is coming to an end. It's our... Stop it. Just pause it, each one. Okay. Start again. It's coming. Is already your time in history is coming to an end. Okay. It has already ended. Pause. Both you Jews from Israel and you Jews from the USA, you will no longer rule over the nations of this world. You will no longer dictate to nations around the globe, whom they can choose as their representatives. So in other words, he was saying, and who they can choose as their representatives. Go ahead. And how they should honor their ancestors and their suffering. That's talking about us there, how we should honor our ancestors and suffering. And then what they do is they throw crap and shit on our ancestors and their suffering. And they cause suffering all over the world. And they've caused these great wars like the First World War and Second World War and all these wars since. And they've hurt Europeans. They've hurt people all over the whole globe. And because we're in that subject, this is something I was going to think I talked about to begin with. I won't talk about this too long here, but I should bring up one more factor. I saw this interesting video of Max Blumenthal, and he was on a program with Judge Napolitano. And
Dave, before you get into that, we got to stay on this because we got a question about the video.
Hold on a second. I'm going to come back.
Then we'll get to Judge Napolitano.
Okay.
From Lisa from Germany. Dr. Duke, Braun challenged the Jewish supremacy over the world. He said, your world rule is coming to an end. Do you think it's happening, or is his life now in serious danger?
I think anyone who stands up against him is going to be in serious danger. The New Testament says it really good about Jesus Christ. It's one of the most common sayings in the New Testament, and no one spoke of him, Jesus Christ, for fear of the Jews. And that can apply to a lot of people. You know, at one point, no one spoke of a lot of people in this world for fear of the Jews. If somebody spoke for this politician in Poland, they could be in danger, certainly losing their job. Right now, you could lose. If we've had people that had me on their network or had me on their programs who lost their YouTube, but they lost their living. And a lot of people get living from that.
Recently, Dave?
Oh, just, well, yeah, constantly.
Not oh, yeah, didn't Jake Shields, he was just demonetized.
Yeah, yeah, he got demonetized.
Yeah,
and, yep. Yeah, and also couldn't post his, you know, live chats and things like that. Just for having me on, and if you watch that, you should all listen to that interview. You'll see that there's nothing I said was terrible, nothing I said that was violent. Everything was very reasonable. I just said that we should have an America in our interest, and not in the interest of this tiny Jewish minority, and not in the interest of people that are committing great crimes against non-Jews, including us. Just like my show last week, I talked about the pedophilia stuff, you know, and Israel's the promised land for pedophiles, right? That's a common phrase. And even in Israel, they talk about the fact that they have more sexual assault, more rape in Israel than any country throughout the entire region of the Middle East. They have a little, you know, they have a lot of rape in African countries to a degree, but they have more there. In fact, it's amazing. It's one of the highest rape rates in the world. And they're talking about the fact that that 92% of these people who are charged with rape and are absolutely, they're not prosecuted. And they were talking about how that they have the highest rate in terms of the proportion. Now, we know the most common ratio or sexual crime is, of course, rape for women, obviously, and young girls. And that's the most common sexual assault kind of charge. It's generally in most countries, the children have a certain percentage in there, but it's much, much smaller than like the rapes of women. But in Israel, 50% of the sexual assaults are children. 50%. Pretty frightening. But that's just one example of, you know, the kind of thing that's going on. I also
so what happens when you inbreed, right?
Yeah, you also know about the fact that I read about this years ago when the Jews went into the West Bank when they were besieging Bethlehem and the Church of the Savior and all that stuff. You know what they were doing? They were broadcasting the most vile, filthy, sadistic, masochistic, evil, perverted porno to the kids of Gaza, to the young men and girls of Gaza, and on purpose. Now that's what you call an evil country. And one more thing, and this is a good one for people. Now I've never met a hardcore evangelical person yet who's been, you know, for abortion. They're all opposed to abortion as a terrible crime, as far as I know, the great majority of them. And yet, if you read the Old Testament, there's a whole bunch of sections in there. I read about 10 or 15 different separate passages in the Old Testament about how the Judeans, the Jews, were supposed to not only kill the men, but ravish the wives of the men. And also, listen to this, that this is terrible, but put a sword, you know, stab them with a sword in their wombs. Literally, kill the pregnant women to cut them open. In fact, the way the Bible phrased it was rip the pregnant women open and kill the fetuses. Now, that's pretty horrific. And that's an order. That's supposed to be an order from God. You know, I just, you know, and that's innocent child that's not committed any sins, that, you know, and a woman, I mean, that's not even a warrior. It's not even somebody that's, you know, you're a combatant on the other side. The idea, you know, somebody can believe that God would want that, but I believe that that's a slander against God. And I believe, I'm so convinced that that's not something that God would order, that I would say that if that's in what's called the Bible, it was put in there by some scribe or scribbler. I also read some passages this morning from Jeremiah, because I was looking this up because I was told about this. And I looked it up. And in Jeremiah, you know what it says? It says, and the scribes write lies. The scribes say this, and they give us false prophets. They tell us false things. And we have to be careful, because there's a lot of lies in, you know, in what the scribes write, which is, we're talking about the high priests of the Jewish religion. So if Judy, and again, I think most of this stuff was actually written in the fourth, you know, second, third, or fourth, even fragments of maybe something before, by the second century before Christ, right? So this was all done because Jews had been defeated. They were defeated by the Romans. The temple was destroyed in 70, right? Then later, the Maccabeans had another revolution, and they lost again, and they were dispersed. They'd also been beaten by the Babylonians before, and so many other peoples, right? So, I mean, so they had all these losses. They're scattered all over everywhere. So the Jews came up with the idea that we now had to be really hardcore racist now. We had to keep our Jews going to synagogues. And in fact, that's the first time they had really synagogues that way. And by the way, it also shows, one of these Jewish scholars shows, that almost all the synagogues, no wonder Jesus call it a synagogue of Satan. And that's in the New Testament. But they even in so-called synagogues, they often had idols and they had false gods. Sometimes they had astrological, which are, by the way, pagan gods, right? I just saw a quote from the New Testament a couple hours before this, because I was looking for some more quotes in these areas, where it talks about where Jesus heals a centurion, his servant. And he says, I've never found a man with more faith, more better man than this centurion, right? With faith in me than with any member of whatever, the Jews in Israel. Kind of interesting. But it goes on to say that, and this is another case that says, listen, the truth is that pagans, right, and Gentiles, that many of them have more love of God, obviously, than Jews. And Jews were actually practicing a lot of not monotheism, but, you know, polygamous type of worships, you know, and so there was a lot of paganism, and there's a lot of black magic in the Talmud too, in the Kabbalah. It's full of black magic and all sorts of sorcery and stuff like that. But it's pretty shocking when you start to get into this material. And even if you want to interpret things differently, and even if you want to go along with the Old Testament, the case can be made that if you say that God had a deal with the Jews, and the Jews broke the covenant, that says it by itself. You don't even have to have proof or whatever that a lot of the Old Testament may be made up in the third century, that Jews may have tried to say to people that they had the most powerful God, and you got to do what we want and what we tell you are, you know, and he's a God that's revengeful. We're going to wipe you all out, and we're going to show you that if you don't do what we say, and you don't rule over. It's just like they said in Deuteronomy, you know, those who you go up to countries that you're not even going to live in, and you say, okay, you can make peace. And what they meant by peace was you could consign yourself to slavery, and or, you know, you can resist. If you resist, we'll kill you all, and we'll take your little children for spoils. We can rape and molest for their lives, and we can sell you as slaves, each generation to the next, the end of time. That's what it says in the Old Testament.
Dave, let's show some Jewish handiwork, okay?
Sure.
Here you go. Let me maximize that for you.
Sure.
And then we can see some Jewish handiwork.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah, make it big, huh? My God. Miles and miles and miles. They've destroyed 85% of the homes, businesses, schools, hospitals, everything. Look at the destruction. Unbelievable. Look at the people walking around. Those were apartment buildings and homes and all of it. And those people built all that, created all that out of the most terrible duress and oppression by this Jew. So we didn't even let them get the concrete in they needed. They had to kind of be original for all this stuff. Yeah, that's handiwork. Look at that. As far as the eye can see. Look at that. Similar to signs of the Dresden.
That's God's chosen people, right?
Yeah, that's chosen, all right.
Yeah. Dresden, the 80th observance is coming up next month.
Well, you know, Goethe said how odd of God to choose the Jews, and how odder still to choose the God that would choose the Jews. However, it could be that the only person that said that God chose Jews were maybe those Jewish scribblers, you know, those Jewish scribes that Christ ruled against and said, you're the fathers of the lie, and you're the sons of Satan, and you're murderers from the beginning. And if you read the Old Testament, you would think that. Now, again, I'm telling people, I'm a Christian, so don't get mad at me for having this certain thoughts about the Old Testament, because I believe that the heart of being a Christian is following Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. And I believe that in taking advantage of a salvation and to follow his prescriptions. And Christ taught the golden rule. And Jews teach hatred of all mankind other than Jews. And every sort of iniquity, every sort of rape, murder, assault, lies, corruption. I mean, even the rapes of children. How can you read Numbers where it says 32,000 virgins were taken, which just means really young kids, young girls, right, and children. And then supposedly God saying, yeah, and you Jews, you wonderful Jewish soldiers, we know how good those people are. You can take them for your spoils of war. Yeah, you can go rape all those little Gentile girls. Sorry. You know, I either can believe those scriptures are authentic, or I can believe that God is different than what Jesus said he believes. There's no massacres of anybody by Jesus' words in the New Testament. He didn't send any plagues. He didn't turn any rivers full of blood. He didn't send billions of locusts on to torment men, women, and children. You know, he didn't kill the firstborn of any people. He didn't ever advocate mass murder or genocide. And he taught love and kindness. And I don't think that meant that he said, it's okay, go ahead and people can murder you and molest your children. I don't think he ever said that. But what he's saying is that we have to be just and we have to be fair. But we do have a right, obviously, to defend our people, to defend our families, to you know, to tie that millstone around the neck of somebody who molested our child, you know, maybe. But at the same time, we have to have try in every way to first approach people with a turn the other cheek attitude. In other words, like de-escalate the battle.
Don't, Dave, we got some questions.
Don't escalate.
Ready?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, just quick comments and then the questions. Burn before reading, Martin Luther realized there was no saving the kikes. Yes. Okay, burn before reading. If it is real, he is in serious danger. Lisa from Germany. Will, and this ends with the word Ukrainians. Will Trump stop the Jewish supremacists, mass murderous psychopaths claiming the right to own and dominate the whole world, Talmud, Netanyahu, Ashkenazi Jew, Milikowski from Poland, claims Israel's right to self-defense, while these satanic imposters deny the Palestinians the same right and keep slaughtering them, defenseless women and children, driving them off of their land. Jewish viciousness and hypocrisy, they have done the same to the Germans, to steal their land and exterminate them, the same to the Ukrainians. So the question is, will Trump stop the Jewish supremacists?
Well, I can only hope so, but do I have much evidence of that? I haven't seen it yet. But there's some good things that he has done. He did share on Truth Social the interview and the discussion of Jeffrey Sachs. And Jeffrey Sachs really laid out Jewish perfidy, criminality, mass murder, and destruction, and how much they hurt America. You know, how many trillions of dollars it cost us and how much damage they've done. I mean, you could just take one example of that. You know, how they're enemy of all mankind. Just take the issue we talked about a little earlier, just like they broadcast pornography to the Palestinian children. Now, those are evil people. That was something you'd think Satan would do, wouldn't you? It's just like that same Jew that said of the Jewish religion in the army, in the military, the chief rabbi of the Israeli military. And he said publicly on his blogs, in fact, printed it out, very carefully written words, typed words in there, that he believed that it's perfectly permitted by Jewish law for Jewish terrorists to rape Gentile women. That means, by the way, they can rape your women. And let me tell you, those Jewish communists raped a lot of Gentile Christian women and others.
Next question, Dave. Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
William Jones, our buddy in the UK. What's Duke's view on the ceasefire between Palestine and Israel and also the deal Trump intends to sign between Ukraine and Russia?
I don't know. It depends on what Trump's going to do. I mean, it's like the Russians are winning this war, and the Russians are not going to give up the Donbass, which those people definitely are 100% in favor of being ruled by themselves and not these Ukrainian traitors who fell under the sway of the Jews of the United States. And so we have to see what's going on. But, you know, Trump can, I think, slide out of this pretty good in terms of not having any bad blowback. However, the Jews will always give him bad blowback because the Jews control the media in America. Plus, they control social media. They can control all of that. So, but at the same time, he can say, it's not my problem. It's Biden that got us into that war. I wouldn't have got us into that war. I ran against war. If you remember the last election, he Biden got elected, not Trump. And what did he say? He said that the Iraq war was one of the biggest mistakes ever. We don't need to go to war. He said we should abandon NATO. If we would have ended NATO, I don't think Russia didn't need to go into Ukraine. They weren't going into Ukraine. All that what happened was the Ukrainians were influenced, along with the Jews in Ukraine. They took over the country with an American coup. And totally illegally. And then they started mass murdering with shelling the Eastern Ukrainians. They started the war. And the Russians felt they had to stand up and try to defend those people of Eastern Ukraine that were being murdered unless they fall into the Jewish-controlled EU. And another little subject that you're kind of bringing up in my mind by even mentioning these things is that I was watching an interview, as I was telling you earlier, with Max Blumenthal. And they showed Max, which is a very good interview with Blinken. and where he attacked Blinken and said, "My God, you're doing a genocide. You're going to have a legacy of genocide, and a legacy that's hurting America and causing so many lives of innocent and so forth." And then he said, "You're actually really hurting the Jewish people, and you're going to make it, you're going to help true anti-Semitism. I guess by that he meant true anti-Jewish sentiments by basically conflating the Jews to the policies of the Zionists and Israel. But the truth is that the Jewish elite, the Jewish power structure, and the average Jew in Israel and the average Jew around the world, in fact, probably more than 80% voted against Trump, by the way, the average Jews are not on our side. The average Jews do that. And so, no, they did that. It's not the Zionists taking over Judaism. Judaism at root is an ultimate racist belief system that believes that they have the right to rule over all the goyim of the world, and the only purpose of goyim at all on earth is to serve the Jews. Now, when I say that, I can quote directly from the chief rabbi of Israel, of the Israeli religion. And I can quote from so many other Jews the same thing. I can, as I said, I can quote from the Jewish head of the IDF, you know, Jewish religion part of it, to teach the troops. And he says, fine, rape those Gentile women. I mean, these people are evil. And these are the things we've got to begin to talk about. So okay. It's not, you know, this when Max Blumenthal says this, or whenever I hear these rabbis on there saying that, well, I'm a Jew, I'm an Orthodox Jew, and I'm religious Jew, and these people that are doing the Zionism, they're not Jews. They damn well are Jews, because every single major synagogue practically in the world, except for a very few, are all supporting Israel. Every synagogue is all support. Almost the synagogues themselves are totally in line with supporting this mass murder in Gaza. So don't tell me this crap about how that, no, what. And this is what Jews have to confront. What I think Max Blumenthal must do, and people like him, they must say, we got to clean up this stuff. We got to renounce the genocides in the Bible. I don't even know if those genocides even took place. But one reason why they're saying the genocides took place, if they did or didn't, I'm sure they had a few for sure. But one reason they're making a big deal out of these genocides is because they want to make Gentiles afraid of them. And they want to tell people, and they want to tell Jews that if you don't go along with us, God's going to punish you, right? He's going to afflict you. And so you got to do what we say. And that's why they produce that. And because they want support. And by the way, I think that it's affected not only, I think it affects what's going on in Gaza. You can see it. I mean, if you have Netanyahu supporting the murder of the Amaleks, man, woman, child, and even infant, suckling infant, their mother's breast. That's a really nice thought. And if he says that, then, and most people are understanding is that God's supposed to be our example, isn't he? I mean, God is supposed to be a notion of what's good. And when you basically tell people that you've got to murder man, woman, and child, that, you know, I'll give another example. Let's just take the.
Before you do that, Dave, we got to get to the questions.
Okay, one last thing then.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting stories in the Bible that are kind of like canaries in the mine on these things. And there's the famous story of God ordering Abraham to kill his most beloved son, Isaac. Right? And so he says, take your knife, take your most beloved son, put him on this rock, and slit his throat. And this is causing, you know, Isaac a lot of, you know, anguish, of course. Can you imagine somebody, you know, and so, and of course, later it's presented to us in the Old Testament like a test, which is also showing a very jealous God and a very nasty God. But could you imagine telling a father, And by the way, it seems like to me that God shouldn't lie to you. I mean, either he's going to kill you or he's not going to kill you, right? He's going to kill your son or he's not going to kill your son. You know, if you say, I'm telling you, you got to kill your son, you're going to think that God's going to kill your son. Now, if God really is doing this, if that's really the case, it makes no sense to me. It makes no sense at all to me. Because why, if God's really the Father and a loving Father, he would not put his children through anguish. The story of Job is another good example of that, where Job, God, apparently, in the Old Testament, it says that God got into a betting contest. He got in for a wager with a devil or a fallen angel or something like that. And the devil, or the Lucifer character, said that, I bet you that I can tempt your follower, Jacob, your loyal follower, to desert you and go against you. And so God made a wager with her, a few dollars, right? So then God let his son, you know, not his son, but his follower, his loyal servant, his loyal person following God, trying to do the right thing by God, suffer all these torments and tortures and torturous behaviors and sadness and destruction and all these things, so God could win a bet with the devil. I mean,
this comes from the minds of inbred creatures. Dave.
Yeah.
William Jones. Hey, Gary and Duke. Hope you had a fantastic Christmas and New Year, folks. Yeah. Thank you. William Jones. I've heard Jared Taylor didn't get his X account back, but instead made a new one. Will Duke do the same?
I don't know. I'm a much more visible target. And any time that I go on something like X or any of these programs, it's like a big, giant electric sign, you know, broadcast to the whole country, and everybody knows about it. And the Jews will focus it because they know how effective I am, and I'm fighting the Jews. And Jared is kind of avoiding the Jewish question, which is fine. He can do whatever he wants. But there's a lot more reason to get me off, because I'm talking about the ultimate thing that you and I know, and I think all of our listeners know, is the ultimate subject they don't want us to talk about. The one thing they cannot afford to talk about more than any other thing at all is Jews.
The Jew. Dave, Blumenthal, you know that guy Blumenthal?
Max Blumenthal.
Yeah, yeah. William Jones says, I can remember Blumenthal interviewing David Irving, and he didn't give good coverage. Is Blumenthal playing the good Jew, bad Jew routine?
I think he is to a degree, but he's definitely, he exposes Jewish racism. He exposes the supremacism, but he's still got to cover himself. He's got to act like he has to pretend that, you know, he loves the Jewish people, and he believes that, even though I don't think he's a religious Jew, but he cannot project himself as saying the Jews as a people are the enemy of all of us. Otherwise, is he that? I don't think he is that enemy, but he has to portray himself, or he has no support. Not, I mean, because he's still got Jewish family. He's still got Jewish relatives. I mean, he's got kids that are going to hate him if he, so to speak, sells out the Jews to anti-Semites like David Duke. But the way I think he can be the most courageous is just to tell the truth. And, you know, these are the same kind of people that will say something like, the only righteous war, the only good war was the Second World War. Right? That was a really good war. Yeah. And then again, you just have to go right back to the ground. You have to go right back to the truth, which you can't argue with and nobody can argue with, right? How do you get 60 million people, not 6 million, but 60 million men, women, and children, mostly non-combatants, by the way, dying, and maybe another 120 million being wounded, hurt, in terrible pain, suffering, and many children, starvation, hunger, hardship, rape and murder. The Soviets are a perfect example of that. I mean, Jew, and then you're not even talking.
Right, and then call it a good war.
Yeah, and you're not even talking yet about 100 million people died from the communist movement, which was a Jewish movement.
Right.
They even spread communism to China. They're also
It's not going to be a good year for the Jews. Dave, Lori, yeah. Satanyahu. That's a good name instead of Netanyahu. Satanyahu says there won't be a ceasefire until he has a list of released hostages, and people are already heading back to the rubble of their homes and cleaning up.
Well, we already had Netanyahu tell people that these were safe areas. And then as soon as he says they're safe areas, people to go to those areas, and they bomb the hell out of them, kill thousands of them. I mean, this is a very, very bad movie.
Yeah. Dave, let me just say that, or let the listeners know who didn't join us earlier on, that if you go to FTJ Media, which of course that's where you're listening from, you can go up the top, the menu bar, it says call in. You can click that, it'll open up another window with all the numbers from around the world. And the actual PIN number, which was posted in the chat, I'll do it again. All right, and there it is. It is 6029147799, 6029 1447 99. So you can call from anywhere in the world, wherever those numbers are. It's not every country in the world, but it's pretty damn close. And just give us a call, and you can ask Dave a question. Your number will not show up on the screen. So there you go. Dave, the inauguration is noon Eastern time tomorrow, which is 11 for us. You're going to be doing your show tomorrow from 10 mm-hmm. to 11. Are you going to exit it right away, are you going to be doing your show, or are you going to be watching the inauguration?
Oh, I'm not going to the inauguration.
No. I mean, are you going to be watching it on the internet?
No, I'll listen to it later. I don't have any need to necessarily watch it as it's happening.
Okay. All right. So that's it right now for the questions, and I'll ask you a question, Dave. If I could.
Sure. All right.
So let me stop that unfortunate.
I tell you what, you got to fill her out. Let me just fill one thing.
Yeah.
I say a lot of things in the broadcast. It's important for people to know that I'm saying can be backed up. Right. Here's a couple lines. Right. Here's from Isaiah 3:16. Their infants will be dashed in pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. Sometimes they say this, they threaten Israelis with this, not Israelis, but they threaten Jews with this. And sometimes they threaten the enemies of the Jews, right? He says, it's just amazing. Here's his Second Kings. At that time, Manasseh sacked Topha and all who were there and the territories from the Tzar because they did not open to him. Therefore, he sacked it and ripped open all the women in it who were pregnant. That's the word they use in the translation, in the English translation anyway. It's just you can't make it up. Slaughtered... this is from Psalms, something people think of as nice poetry and stuff. Oh, daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed. Blessed shall he be who repays you to be blessed by taking your little ones and dashing their heads against the rocks, right?
That's not a nice God. Dave, let's take a look at this.
Let's not blame God.
That's the way the Jews created him.
That's right. That's what the Jews are saying God is.
Right, right.
And that's a hell of a better way to view it, isn't it? You can't say that's God. And I hear that all the time with some people that criticize, the Old Testament. It's like God's doing that. No, it's just
it's the Jews. It's coming from the warped mind of the Jews. Right.
It makes people think that that's what they're supposed to do. Right. And
it's too bad so many are falling for it.
Yeah,
Dave, terrible. Can you see that up on the screen? Live updates. Trump joins raucous Washington victory rally. You see that there?
No, I haven't seen that.
Is that coming up on the screen, though?
I haven't got it yet.
Right there on our screen.
Oh, I see it now. Yeah.
Yeah, you see that? Okay, yeah. Let's take a look at this. All right. There's the village people and Trump dancing.
Oh, he's dancing with all the homosexuals.
That's cool. Right. Isn't that lovely?
That makes me so proud.
Yeah, I know. And there he is, Trump 2024, Take America Back. And there's a wreath laying ceremony in Arlington today. All right. And there's a bunch of people celebrating. And, of course, besides these people, there are folks who are fighting against Trump. But look at this here, right? Okay, Biden plans to vacation in California after inauguration. Him and his wife will depart the Capitol after the ceremony and attend a farewell event with former staffers at Joint Base Andrews. And he's going to get on a plane that you're paying for, taxpayers are paying for. The plane's going to be known as Special Air Mission 46 for the 46th president.
Oh, that sounds real.
Not Air Force One, since Biden will no longer be the sitting president after noon on Monday. Have you ever been to Santa Ynez, California?
Not that I remember.
Yeah, so here it is. Let me show it to you. All right. I'll show you.
Well, he's not going to be in a $30 hotel room, that's for sure.
No, so there it is. That's Santa Ynez right there.
Santa Barbara, I know where that is.
So it's near, you see, there's Santa Ynez.
Yeah.
Right there. So there's Santa Barbara.
Relatives out in that area.
Yeah. So he's going to be taking a trip in a plane that we're paying for. And it would be a shame if something happened to that plane on Inauguration Day, wouldn't it?
Well, it's not going to be Trump's plane. It's going to be Biden's plane.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that wouldn't change anything, though.
That would top off Inauguration Day.
Well, it was so.
For me, it would. Okay. Well,
that would be the biggest news story for sure.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. Okay. Questions, Dave.
Yeah.
I don't know about the after show. Dave, an after show tonight or no?
No.
Okay. Lisa from Germany.
Thanks anyway, though.
Yes. After the Camp David peace talks.
I'm working at 3 o'clock this morning, so I've got to get.
Yeah, gotcha.
You can tell I'm congested.
Yes.
A little bit.
You sound okay. After the Camp David peace talks between U.S. President Jimmy Carter, Israel's minister, President Begin, and Egypt's Sadat, and all three of those are dead now.
I lived through all those things.
Right. A peace, which was not very long lasting. The Ergun terrorist Menachem Begin. Yeah. Was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. The same peace prize was awarded to war criminal Henry Kissinger and to Obama.
If I have this nasal drip, that's all I want to do now. From now on, I'm going to go, bah, yeah,
right. Bah, without having done anything for peace. Libya's Gaddafi was wrong to trust Obama. His country was bombed. He himself murdered. Hillary Clinton.
Anally raped and murdered. That's
right.
Got the whole treatment.
We came, we saw, he died. What a bitch. When Jews talk peace, they mean more war. Extremely disturbing. William Jones. Did Duke ever meet the Shah of Iran?
No, never.
Did you meet anyone there in Iran?
Yes, I met Ahmadinejad. And I met a lot of other people in academia. They published my book in Iran, in Farsi, in the language.
Ah, Lori, I just saw a video.
Yeah.
I just saw a video of prisoners being released. They look amazing. I guess maybe some hostages are being, didn't that happen with Reagan? Like right on Inauguration Day, the hostages at the Iranian embassy were being released. So they're doing it again.
Well, this is what's, you know, there's so many things we can used to prove the Jewish control of our media and the Jewish control of the narrative entirely while they tell us that Jews have no power, right? So all we've been hearing about for the last year and a half is, well, it was a grand total of less than 200 hostages that it really kind of worked out to. And they gave a lot of them, let a lot of them free, right? So-called hostages, right? And the only reason that the poor Gazans even grabbed some of these people and these poor people is because they wanted to get some of their people out. Because there's 20,000 prisoners right now, hostages, really, in Israeli prisons. And they don't even have any sort of legal lockup. There's no criminal justice system. It's not even a military court. They can be put in jail on no charges at all and held for decades. And they have done that to a lot of people. You know, it's unbelievably horrific. Plus, they torture them routinely in these prisons. These Jews are sadists. They are really sick bastards. And they, as like I said, they torture the little girls and little boys too.
Look what they're returning to, Dave. Look at these pictures. They're going back to their home.
How do they live now?
I don't know. What are they going to do
for the next 20 years? How do they live?
Right. Right. The U.S. taxpayers.
And yet now
they're going to be forced to rebuild.
He says, we'll decide after the second 15 days, whether we're not going to bomb anymore.
Right.
So they can do everything. They can release all the hostages, and it doesn't make any difference because these people are evil sons of bitches.
And there they are. Rami Gonen, right, and her mother, Marav, hold each other near Kibbutz Rime, southern Israel, after Rami was released from captivity by Hamas today.
How are they going to show the 1,000 Palestinians, 1,300 Palestinian prisoners? Right? They're not going to show 1,500 pictures of them. There's no equality.
They look pretty damn good.
Pictures of them? Yeah, they look fine. You know, they still got that Jewish chubby look.
Yep. Yep. Okay, so let's take a look at the Palestinians. Israel releases 90 Palestinian prisoners as part of ceasefire deal with Hamas.
Yeah. Okay. And usually they don't let them get released where the cameras are because they don't want people to have any awareness of them. So they don't let them to release the same way, you know, the Jews got released right to the media, you know, but the Palestinians, they just don't have hardly any media.
I'll show you what they're going to look like, Dave. Do you see that picture? Let me see. Hold on.
Well, you can't see much from that
picture. All right. I'm going to show you this picture, okay?
Okay.
This is what the Palestinian prisoners look like after they're released.
Probably been raped 50 times.
Well, you see the guy there?
Yeah.
On the left. That's when he was before he went in.
Before and after.
And you see now what he looks like coming out of.
Poor bastard.
This is what these motherfucking Jews do to human beings because they're not human. Could you imagine what this guy went through to come out looking like a...
Well, you're totally in their control 24 hours a day. They'll blast music at you at night. They won't give you the water you need. They'll put you in positions, just sitting you in certain positions with your hands tied behind your back and all that.
Yes, there he is. That's a guy who was a bodybuilder. That's what he looks like now.
I don't know if he's a bodybuilder.
He was. That's what I'm saying.
Well, he was fit before.
Yeah, there he was.
I don't think he's a bodybuilder. I think he's just fit.
He was fit. He was fit, and that's what they turned him into, the kikes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God's chosen people turned him into.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dave, more questions. Ready?
All right, let's get going.
We got Shameless Wise asks, Dear Dave, this is to you, Dave.
Yeah.
For the love of God, start streaming your daily show on FTJ Media.
I'm working on it. We'll do it. I got to work with you to get it done, too. How are we going to get it done?
Well, what's the advantage of streaming
in the morning and see what they can do on their end and your end, and then you just have to get a direct hookup in the stream and with the video and so forth that you're going to have. That's what you have to do.
Well, what's the advantage of streaming or just doing audio at rents? Is there an advantage?
Because Yeah, there's an advantage because we want to, you know, you got a good network and we can do a video too. Let's just, it's a little more trouble for me, but it's worth it for the audience. They want video. They like video, like what we're doing right now, rather than just audio. Look at Rogan's show and all these other shows.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what
we have to do on our end. We'll have to figure it out. Ask your people.
I'll ask my people. You ask your people. We'll do lunch.
I feel sorry for the children who've been abused too. Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So you probably should start.
The United Nations organization, 40% of children, every child basically is brought in there, every little girl, whatever. And they don't worry about just having women take care of girls. No, it's not like an American prison or something. They have men over them and they're perverts. And they get them in there and they have every single one of them stand up and strip in front of them. I mean, that's traumatic for an 8 or 9 or 10, 12-year-old little girl, or anybody really would be, right?
Of course. Of course. God's chosen people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God's chosen perverts.
Yes. What else is on your mind, Dave?
Well, I was talking about Blumenthal. There's just so many issues we could talk about there. Is, you know, I'm going to make a proposal. I'm going to do a little video and make a proposal and challenge him and say, look, we need to have a little discussion. I'll be respectful with you, be respectful for me. And I want to point out that Judaism has been taken over by Zionism. So you can say they've been trying to take it over, and they did take it over. But the truth is, if it wouldn't have been racist in the first place and perverted and supremacist, you would never have Zionism anyway. If Judaism would have really been saying, we got to be fair to everybody, have the golden rule, how do you justify kicking hundreds of thousands of people out of their homes, businesses, farms? How do you justify torturing them and your prisoners, torturing little girls and boys, doing the massacres at Deir Yassin? And Deir Yassin was one of those cases too, because they had a French Red Cross man, Dr. Renoir, and he was right there on the scene with Deir Yassin. And it rhymed. Anyway, he was right there on the scene, and he reported that these Jews bayoneted the wombs of these Palestinian women. And these were almost all women and old people, because the men were off kind of fighting against the Jewish troops that were driving them out and, you know, ripping the babies out, just like these verses that I started to quote from you. I might quote, a few more, you know, because it's kind of, it's so shocking. It's really amazing. But see, if these people that say Judaism is so egalitarian and it's about love for everybody. So here's from the Jerusalem JTA, Jewish Telegraph Agency, right? And this is the headline: Israeli Sephardic leader. You know, this is the top religious figure of Israel, much of the Jews over the whole world, is Rabbi Yevadiah Yosef. And by the way, and his son carries on the same tradition. And by the way, when he died, he had the biggest funeral in the history of Israel, and every major person was there. But this is what they went to honor when they went to his funeral, right? And this is the headline. It says, in his weekly Saturday night sermon, said that non-Jews exist only to serve Jews. Quote, Goyim were born only to serve us. Without that, they have no place in the world, only to serve the people.
Dave, we got questions. Ready?
I'm going to finish the sentence. He said, during the question, can wait a moment. During the public discussion of what kind of work non-Jews were allowed to perform on Shabbat, he says, why are Gentiles needed? They will work, they will plow, they will reap. We will sit like an effendi, which means, by the way, a lord and master, you know, and eat. Then added some laughter. Yosef, the spiritual leader of the Shas Party, which is one of the biggest parties and influencers in Israel. They cover immigration law, marriage law, all that. And the former chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel also said that the lives of non-Jews are protected in order to prevent financial loss to Jews. Which is not really true, of course. With Gentiles, it will be like any person. They need to die, but God will give them longevity. Why? Imagine that one's donkey should die. They lose his money or lose their money. This is his servant. That is why he gets a long life to work well for this Jew, said the rabbi who recently turned 90. In an audio recording of some of the rabbi's remarks was broadcast on Israel's Channel 10. I mean, it's outrageous, right? The Jewish, yep. You know, the Jewish assert non-Jews exist. The only reason they exist in the whole world is to serve Jews, and they're not called racists, and they're not exposed for this. It's crazy.
Well, they are now. It's ending. Dave, I got some stuff here. Ready?
Oh, it's ending. I hope so.
Okay. Believe it or not, it's already. We only got 15 minutes left already.
Yeah.
Okay. So, quick question. Make this one fast. Just a yes or no. Did Ass Bandit, and I guess Ass Bandit is a term being used by the younger generation, did Ass Bandit Douglas Murray get back to Duke regarding a debate?
No.
Okay. All right, next. Let's just do this because I got a video. Harry says, did you all see the Jew spat between the Jew reporters versus Antony Blinken and the other Israeli citizens?
Yeah, I saw that when they were attacking the journalist.
Yeah, we're going to play it. Hold on.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'll make some more comments about Blumenthal when you play that part that he's in it
too. Okay, let it play first, then you can make comments.
All right.
Keep the bombs flowing. When we had a deal in May, we all knew we had a deal. Everyone in this room knows we had a deal, Tony, and you kept the bombs flowing. Why did you sacrifice the rules-based order on the mantle of your commitment to Zionism? Why did you allow my friends to be massacred? Why did you allow my friends' homes in Gaza to be destroyed when we had a deal in May? You helped destroy our religion, Judaism, by associating it with fascism. You waved the white flag before Netanyahu.
To take questions at the end.
You waved the white flag before Israeli fascism.
We'll have the time to take questions
your
at the end.
Your father-in-law was an Israel lobbyist. Your grandfather was an Israel lobbyist. Are you compromised by Israel? Why did you allow the Holocaust of our time to happen? How does it feel to have your legacy be genocide? How does it feel to have your legacy be genocide? You too, Matt. You smirked through the whole thing every day.
Thank you. Yeah. By the way, we should point out he also said something else. We missed that part where he said that when he first went to Israel and your first time there, the first thing you said to Netanyahu said, "Look, I'm a Jew, right? And you're a Jew, you know, and we're dedicated to the Jewish people." I mean, imagine, talk about a person that should be disqualified for being a diplomat from a country. When you're basically, this insane relationship with somebody else talking about what you're loyal to. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and of course, Sam Husseini was dragged out of there as well. Lori saw a video. Thank you, Lori, for bringing that to our attention about them releasing the hostages, and they look great. And then, of course, Lisa said starved, tortured, humiliated, most likely raped, barely alive. That's how released, kidnapped Palestinians look like. Yeah, just compare the pictures.
They
side
probably
by
kept the worst ones, the worst tortured right now in jail because they.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course they don't want to let them out. Globo Cuomo's locomoto question.
Yep.
If Duke could pick any year of Trump's second term, what year would he pick for being most geopolitically explosive / significant?
I think probably the first year. I think we got a lot to to learn over the next, few months.
William Jones, Blinken needs to be sent to The Hague, absolutely. I hope Duke attends the Remigration Summit scheduled for May 25th in Austria. Hope you're there too, Gary. Are you kidding me? We go to Austria, you know where we're going to end up. That's not going to happen. So,
if you go to politics, you will for sure.
But yeah, no. Right, Harry Holler, Blinken, and that smirking kike sidekick of his, Matt Miller, if I remember his Jew name correctly. Yeah, in that video, Miller was at the end. That's right. Harry Holler, I lost my Instagram account for asking questions of these kikes on the official State Department IG profile. I know it was them. Yeah, we were talking, Dave, before about the X banning people for talking about the kike, or whoever banning people talking about the kike. You know what they're starting to do now on X is when you talk about the H-1B visa and the Pajits.
They give you a check off.
Yeah, they're starting to limit your reach, right? The kike said freedom of speech is not freedom of reach. And, of course, the kike, Elon Musk, went along with that. Whether or not he's a kike, I don't know. But supposedly there was some DNA report released that showed he has Ashkenazi in him.
Oh, I don't know. That's just
weird. I don't know, Dave.
I don't think if he had a few drops, it's going to affect anything. But that's fine.
Oh, I mean, he doesn't look like it, and his family doesn't look like it. But
he does some good things. He's trying to keep his empire, and that's the problem. He's got a lot to lose. People like you and I don't have as much to lose. We got a lot to lose too, but we, but we don't have that much.
Exactly.
Our life becomes a lot harder, and then if something happens to us, we have a lot less ability to defend ourselves
in court
or anything like that.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's see what else is in the news. We saw what these savages did to the Palestinians, how they destroyed that place. Did you hear about the sanctuary cities being threatened? Did you hear about
I heard about the fact that they already – I mean, I heard this right on NPR just the other day. I listened to NPR flash briefing every morning, and they were saying that – they were just bragging about openly that they're not going to cooperate with the immigration authorities and the federal people these people are violating federal law, but they're not going to cooperate. They should be charged with, obstruction of justice. It should be serious.
Well, they're going to. Look at this. You know this Jew, right? Stephen Miller?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he sent a letter that went to hundreds of state and local officials across the United States 2 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
Potential blueprint for how Trump administration may attack sanctuary jurisdictions that resist mass deportations. So he's warning them, saying they could potentially face up to 20 years in prison. It could happen. And there's the sanctuary jurisdictions, Dave. Look at that.
Yeah.
So here's me and here's you. Okay. Orleans Parish Jail. It's non-cooperative. Were you aware of that, Dave?
Yeah, it's because it's a Republican government.
Well, no, it's Democrat. Pure Democrats. South Carolina, non-cooperative.
Is it Democrat now still? I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, they're talking about Orleans Parish, of course.
Yeah, Orleans
Parish. It's a chocolate city.
Yeah, of course.
New Indiana, non-cooperative in those jurisdictions.
Oh, non-cooperative.
Kansas has one non-cooperative. That's near Lawrence, I think. Wyoming, Teton County Jail.
Lock them up, I don't think they will.
Right. Look at this piece of shit, Oregon. Look at all the non-cooperatives in there. Holy shit. And then you got Connecticut. Look at that, too. So, yeah, this is the target. Jersey, limited cooperation. Tennessee, limited in that county. All these northeast places, Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont. Wow. Look at that. They're just flouting the law. They're just doing what they want to do. See that? non-cooperative federal immigration authorities are not notified prior to the release of a non-citizen from jail or prison. Prisoners are not held long enough for ICE to take custody. Dave, why would anybody want to release, let's say, a violent prisoner early so they could kill somebody else? Dave? Look at that. I'm talking to myself. Dave disappeared. How about that? Okay. So, who knows what happened to... I don't even know if I'm still on. Am I? Let me know. Somebody let me know. It looks like I am, but you never know. Let's see. Isn't Musk South African, supposedly, and his mother's Canadian? Harry Holler, yes, my Twitter profile has been limited. I can no longer reply to someone's tweet with a video, image, or GIF attachment. Screw them. Lots of kikes down there. They pioneered the anti-apartheid movement, according to George Galloway. Yes, there won't be any mass deportations. It's all theater, Harry Holler. I don't know about that. William Jones, does Duke think Trump will invade Canada, Greenland, and Mexico in his first year of office? Let's see if he comes back. We can ask him that. Oh, good. Thank you, Harry. Burn before reading, there's no way mass deportations are happening. It's an absolute pipe dream. William Jones, what's Duke and Gary's favorite state? Well, I mean, Florida's pretty cool. It's really hands off here. Right? Harry Holler, niggers control the city governments, even in the red states, especially those in the South where they're has been white flight. Well, I don't know if niggers control it, but kikes do, and they tell the niggers what to do. Steph, thank you. William Jones, you're live. Gahari, thank you. Lori, how much power do these rabbis actually have? I forget which powerful rabbi is supposed to be at the inauguration. Let's see if we could find out. All right. Rabbi at Trump inauguration. If I could spell, that would be good. Let's see if they say. Yep, there it is. Let's bring it up. On Monday, President. And we will see. Here we go. It doesn't look like Dave is with us. I don't know what happened to him. But we'll take a look at this since you asked. All right. And we will. Okay. I guess that should be, I hope that should be the full screen.
On Monday, President-elect Donald Trump will be officially sworn into office. And among those taking the stage during the ceremony will be Rabbi Ari Berman. The head of Yeshiva University is set to give the benediction and will become only the third rabbi to do so. He spoke with News 4's Gaby Acevedo about the significance of this moment.
I love America. I believe in America.
Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman will be on the world stage Monday, giving the benediction at President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration.
But I'm not standing there as me. This is really a representative of the Jewish people. I am their messenger.
The rabbi leads Yeshiva University in Washington Heights and shares a New York connection with Trump, who was born and raised in the city.
I grew up in New York and love New York, and see New York as a great expression of peoples coming together from all over that are able to accomplish something greater than themselves.
Rabbi Berman will share the stage with members of the clergy.
I feel deeply humbled to be chosen for this mission. I have found
the same thing again.
Yeah, Dave, hold on a second. You want to see this video?
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, I'm going to start from the beginning. Ready? Because somebody asked about...
Almost out of time.
Okay. We're okay. Somebody asked about a rabbi. Lori asked about a rabbi. So check this out. Okay. This is the rabbi who's going to be all at the inauguration.
On Monday, President-elect Donald Trump will be officially sworn into office. And among those taking the stage during the ceremony will be Rabbi Ari Berman. The head of Yeshiva University is set to give the benediction and will become only the third rabbi to do so. He spoke with News 4's Gabby Acevedo about the significance of this moment.
I love America. I believe in America.
Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman will be on the world stage Monday, giving the benediction at President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration.
But I'm not standing there as me. This is really a representative of the Jewish people. I am their messenger.
The rabbi leads Yeshiva University in Washington Heights and shares a New York connection with Trump, who was born and raised in the city.
I grew up in New York and love New York, and see New York as a great expression of peoples coming together from all over that are able to accomplish something greater than themselves.
Yeah, like genocide.
Rabbi Berman shared the stage with other members of the clergy.
I feel deeply humbled to be chosen for this mission.
Chosen for genocide.
Great partnerships, in the Muslim world, in the Christian world.
The inauguration coming on the heels of a negotiated ceasefire agreement in the Israel-Hamas war. Rabbi Berman with a message of hope.
For God to take the plight of the hostages, and especially now for all of the hostages to go free.
He will be the only college president making remarks on stage, addressing last year's demonstrations in college campuses across the nation.
Universities and college campuses have experienced enormous unrest.
Rabbi Berman also carrying the memory of his late father.
My father passed away.
Counting on his life lessons when he stands in front of thousands of people in the nation's capital, with millions more watching around the world.
I hope my words add some elevation to his memory.
Reporting from Washington Heights, Gabby Acevedo.
They're so fucking ugly. Okay, listen to this, Dave. And this is true. Burned before reading, the kite can't even keep a straight face. They're so fucking slimy. Fucker, good to see you, Dave and Dave. Okay. Here you go. Bushmaster 6A.
3 minutes.
Says, I challenged Dr. Duke to a push-up contest, but I knew he would beat me, so I'm just going to pay up. He donated $10 to you.
All right. Well, that's cool.
All right.
And I don't have to beat you right now, but I did. I have been doing 60 in the morning, each morning. So I'm back up to 60. I was down to about 40 or 50. Now I'm back to 60. And then I do a minute just of deep knee bends as well. Not counting other exercises.
Right? Well, when I'm there this weekend coming up, I'm going to film it for these guys, okay?
Well, no.
Yeah, I'm filming it.
I don't care what you do.
I'm bringing my cell phone. I'm going to film it. Tom Dwyer, thanks for your donation.
A year ago. But
thanks for your donation of $5. Okay. William Jones, who were the first and second to be sworn in by a rabbi? Right? Next weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And we got a nice fuck Israel image there. Always good to see that. All right. So, Dave, yes, why don't we tell the listeners where they can find you this week, and providing we don't get hit too hard by that ice and snow. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, let's hope you keep your power and everything. And we all do. Yeah. But it's supposed to be pretty clear, I think, over here. Just cold, 27. And maybe on the next day, it might have some snow. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know.
Yeah. So go ahead. Tell them where they can listen.
Okay, it's box 188 is where you can send a few shekels if you so inclined, or you can. I guess you can donate in this live stream too if you.
Of course. FTJ. Everybody has.
You should advertise for Super Chat too.
But it is everybody. Everybody has access to a wallet, and they can make a donation, and they have been.
Well, that's cool.
So what about your shows this week, Dave?
Okay, that's at 10 a.m. Central Time, and that's on the Rinse Radio Network, and that's on Rinse.com and RinseRadio.com, and you can also get the archive. So you can go to HR, which is Human Rights, just HR, A D HR, then R-A-D-I-O, hrradio.net. And you just look there and look at the current date, and you go back as far as you want. 5 days a week, I'm pretty active.
Cool. And right now there's another live show after we end. It's movie night over at Red Pilled Radio, movie night. Anna Karenina. Have you ever seen that, Dave?
Maybe years ago.
Yeah. So I am going to...
Sorry, Russian, about a Russian.
Yeah, I'm going to redirect there to that show if I could. Let's see if I can.
Anna Karenina.
Yeah, I can't actually, but that's okay.
Put the link on there.
Well, just go to, it's on FTJ. It's right there it is.
No, it is.
Yeah. All you do is go to FTJmedia.com and there it is. So we're going to sign off. Dave, always great to see you. Enjoy your show tomorrow before the inauguration. Everybody, thanks for stopping by and giving us all the great questions and comments and keeping us company. And yes, William Jones, I'm looking forward to filming Dave doing the push-ups and the deep knee bends this weekend.
Okay, so, well, the challenge.
Yeah. Wait, well, hold on, Dave.
Let's see if anybody would give me if I can do, over 50. How's that? And every one I do over 50, I get $2.
Dave, we're going to have to do the show earlier next Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'll be on the road heading back. Okay. From your place. So next Sunday, our show usually airs at 5 Central, but we're going to have to do it early. We'll let you know. Check FTJ Media. It'll be up in the upcoming.
Definitely by 6 or so or 5.
For the time. All right. Dave, have a great night, my friend. Get some sleep. You've been up since 3. Everyone have a happy inauguration day tomorrow. And I will see you on Tuesday with James Mason. Wednesday with Jason Kessler, Thursday with James Mason, and Sunday with David Duke at an earlier time because I'll be on the road. All right, folks. Have a good night, Dave. We'll talk to you soon.